Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Can y'all do me a favor? Grab somebody by the hand. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given. We ask, dear Master, that you would speak in truth, clarity, and conviction. Hide me behind your cross so that they would see none of me but receive all of you, that the truth of the gospel might be personified in us and we might be like you in these last days. Father, I pray for each of these students. Father, I pray for their doubts, their fears, their insecurities, the turbulence that they experience, every trial and tribulation that they're going through. Let them know that they are overcomers through the power of your word. Be glorified in this experience because it all belongs to you. And we ask these things in the name of the risen Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here. CIU, we on stage. It's a blessing to be here. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you all this morning. I've got a few minutes to use, and I'll probably use all of them, but I want to start by thanking our president, Dr. Smith, for such an opportunity. Can you put your hands together for Doc for prayer? Bless you, man. I bless you. Thank you for Rick, my dear friend, and all others that are here. Shameless plug to Dr. Rogers, to Dr. Howell, and Dr. Langston, to all those in the DML program that make me sound smarter than I really am. I appreciate all that they do. And for those of you that are graduating from your master's or anything like that, go right into the Doctor of Ministry Leadership program. You need to do that. Grab your Bibles with me for a moment. I'm glad for Zion Benevolent being here. Y'all get to hear this every week. This is a different experience. Mark chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 46. I'm a Baptist preacher and I don't like quiet rooms. I need y'all to talk to me this morning. All right, y'all got me? Mark 10, 46. There was a statement that Dr. King made, and I know that we're remembering his life and legacy, and we celebrated it on yesterday, but he made a statement that was something that stayed with me, and I never forgot hearing it. He says, "We remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." And here, I'm challenging you this morning on one simple challenge. I want you to say it out loud. In this passage, Mark 10, if you have it, words read on this wise from the rustic language of the King James Version. In Mark 10 and 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What will that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.'" The final verse says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." This passage reminds me of a challenge my family had some years ago. The context of this message is in the city of Jericho. And we know Jericho to be one that has great significance, particularly because of what happened in the Old Testament through the ministry of Joshua and Caleb. Y'all know that story, right? How the city was fortified. The walls were designed to keep people out. They prided themselves on being able to keep people out of Jericho until the armies of the Israelites came in. But in that city, there was a woman that was by the name of Rahab. Rahab didn't have the perfect kind of testimony. She wasn't fit to sit and to lead small groups because she did a different kind of work. But she heard about the Israelites coming, and she was like, I see y'all. I don't want no smoke with y'all. When y'all come to Jerusalem, take care of my family. Y'all know the story. Consequently, she became a part of the family of God. Jesus is now in the same city that is known for being fortified, but you know how the story ends. Those walls came down. So to me, Jericho isn't a city to keep people out, but to me, it's a city of deliverance. So now you got a man who the Bible doesn't really give much context to, just tells the name of his father. It says that he's blind and that he's a beggar, sitting by the roadside, unable to see. And it reminded me of the difficulties that my family faced some years ago. About 10 years ago, my mother was having issues with her knees. Doctors diagnosed her with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, as you might remember this, my wife is down front, best wife I ever had. For we just gotten married 10, 15 years ago. Had to have a double knee replacement surgery. And she said, my life is going to be different. And she said, so are yours. But we pledged to her then that we would take care of her. Arthritis is an awful disease. Took both of her knees. Infection invaded her foot. Had to amputate her right foot. Had to have her hip replaced. And all of this before her 55th birthday. A few years ago, we discovered that she had macular degeneration. She started losing vision in her eyes. And she went completely dark one day, couldn't see. And I remember asking her, I was like, Mama, how are you going to navigate around the house? She said, I've been living here for over 30 years. I know this house better than you. My mother taught me something that I didn't know on my own. When you're in a situation that others can't get you out on, you learn how to trust yourself. Bartimaeus was not one that was exclusively there begging. Bartimaeus was looking for the right opportunity to meet the right person that could help him. So he said, I'm here. Some of you don't know why you're here. And I've heard your frustrations, right? Everybody here was not born into a family of believers. Some of you still have your frustrations with the environment, the culture that CIU offers. It's okay. That's why we're here. Watch this. Your frustrations are not there to define you, not there to defeat you, rather, they're there to define you. And in their times of frustration, sometimes you got to learn how to say, here's where I am. There was a trustee at our church. She went to be with the Lord about 6 years ago. Her name was Bea Adams. Bea Adams told me something that stayed with me. She said, to thine own self be true and let honesty be your greatest sin. In other words, you got to know exactly where you are. Some of you might be saying, listen, DMOG is working me. These Old and New Testaments is gangster. Papers every week. I got to read 17 books. I don't like my roommate. They don't serve grits in the cafeteria. I'm struggling, but I'm here. I miss home, but my home life is in shambles. But I'm here. I don't have any money. I don't have a plan after graduation, but I'm here. I don't know how I'm going to make it from one day to the next. I don't know if FAFSA is going to come through for me, but Lord, here's where I am. Do something. I'm in Jericho. Make these things disappear in my life. Jairus was by the roadside begging. Didn't know who he was. Some people really didn't care, but he says, here's where I am. I'm going to see if I can get this kind of help, because the Bible already says in Mark chapter 5 that help is to be found when you're desperate enough to seek it. There was a woman, as the King James says, that has an issue with blood. I like the way that's written. And when crowds were around, she realized that even though she shouldn't have been out, she heard about Jesus being in the town. Bible says that she pushed through the crowds and could only get the tail end of his garment. She said, if I can get just to that, I know I'm going to be all right. And she says, here I am, here he is, let's make something happen. Some of us have been here for a while and haven't taken full advantage of the fact that you've got opportunities here to change your life. You're not here accidentally. This is divine ordinance. God placed you here. He's pouring into you. Don't miss out the opportunity. You're here. There's a powerful precept to be understood here. It's a blessing that we're all here. Can I tell y'all something that might not come out right? I'm glad that God made me black. I'm glad that I look different than some of you. I'm glad that I've got a different testimony than some of you, because it allows you to see that what makes us different makes us great. Tell somebody, I'm here. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. So he's in Jericho. He's asking people for money. Undoubtedly, there's some that are giving him money. There are others that are walking by him. Sometimes people will help him get to one place to the next, but honestly, by and large, it's all on him. But what happens is that when you can't see, other senses are heightened. He starts hearing things. And while he hears about Jesus being in town, because he can't see him, he decides then that he's going to do something about his situation. But while he's making that decision, there are other people in the crowd as well. And Bartimaeus hears him. Tell somebody, I hear you. Bartimaeus hears about Jesus and decides, you know what? He heard enough about him to know that it was the same Jesus that was able to make a miracle at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. It was the same Jesus that was able to turn water into wine, and as Baptist preachers say, that he made a wine press out of a water pot. It was the same Jesus that stood at the mouth of the grave of Lazarus and told a man that had been dead for a couple days to come out with not the stink of death on him. It was the same Jesus that assembled 5,000 people together and fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He heard that Jesus was in town, and he was like, that's the key to my healing. But watch this. While he was calling out to Jesus, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me, there were people telling him, leave Jesus alone. You ought to be quiet. Isn't it amazing that everybody that saw Bartimaeus, they knew he was blind. They knew he was a beggar. They knew he didn't have money, and they still told him, we don't want to see you get delivered. There have been times where I, in 2020, I'm 38 years old, I've seen things that have happened around this country that need to be said out loud that are still kept in silence. My father served in Vietnam. My sister served in Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Their sacrifices gave me the ability to come and cross this stage in 2007 and receive my master's degree. I love our veterans. My father, coming back from Vietnam, he didn't enlist, he was drafted, the youngest of 14 children, taken away from his mother. My grandfather died when my dad was 6 years old. My grandfather was born in 1887. I'm the grandson of a sharecropper in a town called Islington, South Carolina. You go to the end of the world and you turn left. My father went a world away to fight for this nation, came back sitting in Orangeburg while he was a student at Orangeburg Technical College, trying to provide for his family. Couldn't get a cup of coffee after defending a nation. Say it out loud. My sister, sacrificing after having just had a son, 8 months floating outside of the Arabian Sea, for 8 months not being able to communicate with her child. And here in present times, me being the benefactors of their sacrifice, still seeing things that our nation oftentimes will fight for interests but sometimes have an issue with fighting for blind people. To see people that look like me are unarmed being killed. Football player Deer said something about it, and he's the problem now. Say it out loud. It's amazing to see how sometimes obvious things are not those things that are spoken of. And sometimes the silence of your peers speak more loudly than the words of your enemy. Thank you, Dr. King. So Bartimaeus here, he was like, you know what? I hear y'all. But here's what Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus said, I want to be healed more than I care about your opinion about what I plan on doing about my healing. He says, I'm going to get to Jesus. So he called Jesus even louder. Jesus stopped right in his tracks, Dr. Smith, and was like, send him to me. So he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, he said, what do you want me to do? But in the interim, prior to that, there were some people that were pushing him. He was like, the master's calling you. You better go. So it's amazing how you can have this odd two-way conversation between what you hear around you and what you know what you need to do. You got to push through the noise. You have people telling you that you can make it, but you don't know, they don't know your struggle. It's okay. When you see Jesus, it's time for you to move. He came to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? He says, Jesus, I want to see. Jesus said, according to your faith, it's already done. But watch this. Prior to that, there were people telling him to be quiet about it. In the same passage that I referenced earlier about the woman with the issue of blood, there was a man by the name of Jairus that had a daughter that was sick and about to die. He came to Jesus and was like, I need you to consider my child. Jesus got interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood and healed her. And when he was on his way to Jairus' house, there was someone that told Jairus to do what? He said, leave Jesus alone. Your daughter is already dead. Jesus went to his house anyway. When he got there, Jesus made a statement that made people that did not understand how faith works, they started laughing. Jesus kicked everybody out of the room. You got to learn how to keep your circle small. Watch this. Jesus had 12 disciples. Only 3 went in with him. Kicked everybody else out of the room, healed the girl. And watch this. When the little girl walked out, the same thing that happened to this little girl happened to Jairus. Jairus was like, y'all, I'm out. I'm not sitting by the bedside any longer, by the roadside anymore. I'm leaving here. And when the Lord begins to turn your testimony around, the same people that doubted you, that wondered how you were going to make it, are the same ones are going to be the ones that will have to see God bring you out of whatever it is you're going through. What I've learned is how to be blind when I need to be. I see things oftentimes that challenges my faith. The enemy has an uncanny way of allowing you to be discouraged by your circumstances. You got to say, you know what? I'm out. I'm leaving this. I'm bouncing. I don't have time for this. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm not dealing with this group of people anymore. I'm out. Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus in the way. And he began to understand through his illustration that people could see what hope really looked like. For he could take you from being a beggar, a blind beggar, now to a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Here's where, Dr. Rogers, I would tell a musician at Zion Benevolent to put me in E flat or C sharp. It's time to close. You have to say, I'm leaving this. Because I'm saying it out loud. You got to learn how to almost be crazy when people are looking at you like you're odd, when you're bewildered, when you're overcome with grief or emotion. You got to say what the Bible has already said. Go and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When you get discouraged, you can say, no, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. And what's he going to do? He's going to give me the desires of my heart. I'm leaving this place. You might say, I'm tired of these restless nights. And you have to tell yourself that you can keep your mind in perfect peace if you keep it stayed on Jesus. I'm leaving here, but you have to say it out loud because the confession is made unto salvation. Here's your chance to be delivered. Here's your chance to be overcomers. Here's your chance to come out of what you're afflicted with. And I want you to know that you're here not by accident, but by divine appointment. You don't have to be just an ordinary student. God has made you to be different. Say it out loud. You have to say that when I graduate, when I leave here, I might not have my plans laid out in order, but as long as I'm walking with the Master, I'm good. I might hit some snags in the road, but as long as Jesus hears my cries, I'm not going to hear what's going on around me. I'm good. Say it out loud. And what happens is that when you begin to understand that your mouth, your confessions start defining how God can use you, your testimony starts changing. Your approach to life and ministry, to your studies, will begin to go differently. I'm going to close on this note. I want you to do me one favor. I want everyone to stand again. And as we leave, as we prepare to leave, listen, I'm a product of a Bible college as well. I graduated from Charleston Southern University. I know what the campus life is like. I've done it. I've been there. I know that you hear the chapel messages from guys like me all the time, and sometimes it's difficult to make the decision that you know that you need to make. What's funny to me, I had this happen with my MSD students, is that when I opened the handbook and showed them what the requirements of our school are, and they were like, oh, this is different. Yeah, it's different. It's supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different. My simple plea to you this morning, that in this auditorium, if there's somebody that does not know Jesus, you do not have to leave here the same way that you came. If you know that shoe, if you know that the Lord has been tugging at your heart, if you know that the scripture, you've been wrestling with it, trying to decide what's right. I'm new to social media, brand new to it. The youth at our church pushed me toward this. Send me a message, hit me up. I'm on Instagram, poor country preacher. Reach out, I'm glad to help. But at this moment, this is going to be a makeshift altar. If somebody needs to know Jesus, I want you to come. Jesus standing at the door and he's knocking. All he wants you to do is just let him in. If you're tired, if you're frustrated, if you're struggling with your life's decisions, if you've got problems at home and you want to pray about it, I'm here to serve you. Do me one more favor. Grab somebody by the hand again as we close. And I want you to know, this is something that we do at Zion Benevolent all the time, that you're holding the hand of a miracle. To hold the person's hand you might be holding, according to diagnosis from their doctor, they shouldn't be here this morning. You're holding the hand of somebody that's the first in their family to be in college, and they're struggling, not knowing whether they're going to be the first one to graduate. So you're holding the hand of somebody that has hope. You're holding the hand of somebody that might not have lived the perfect life, and in their imperfections, they still came to CIU to live a life of service. You're holding the hand of somebody that's doing the best that they can with the best they have. And that hope is what's pushing them. But I want you to know, as you're squeezing their hand, let them know that for what God has done in your life, he'll do the exact same thing in theirs. Because we serve a God who knows all, sees all, and blesses indiscriminately. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, I pray for these students. I pray for the faculty. I pray for our president. I pray for the administration. And Lord, I ask on this morning for each of these students, for whatever they stand in need of, whatever their current lot is, I pray, dear Master, that you would help them to say what they need from you out loud. Develop their prayer life, God. Develop their devotion. Help them to walk in love, grace, power, clarity, and conviction. And in all things, we'll give thanks to you and to you alone, for you are worthy of our praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen and amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.